my way.
Trouble in my way.
I gotta cry sometimes.
I have to cry sometimes.
Trouble in my way.
Trouble in my way.
I gotta cry sometimes.
I have to cry sometimes.
I lay awake at night.
In the furnace, it was a long time ago. It was Shadrach and Meshach, well, and Abednego. You know they weren't worried because the Bible says so. They knew that Jesus, he would fix. Do you believe that Jesus,
he will fix it?
I'm assured that our Jesus,
he will fix
it. I'm confident that my
Jesus, he will fix it.
Oh, I believe that
Jesus, he will fix
it. Do you believe that
Jesus, he will fix
it? I believe that my
Jesus,
he will fix
it. Yes,
after a while. Amen, believers. Amen. 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 If ever a time we can
can enjoy the fact that Jesus got everything under control.
Amen.
Why not tonight?
Why not?
I thank God that he is in control, the ruler of all things, and besides him there is no other God. He is the one who holds literally the world in the hollow of his hand, and being that of it as it is, we are in his hand as well.
Yeah.
And even John would remind us, Jesus would remind us, nobody can take us out of the hand of the Almighty God. And so we give praise tonight to God because he's worthy of praise.
Amen.
And I value so much that God chooses us to be where we are even on tonight. Our journey has just begun, church, as it relates to our relationship with God. And I want to encourage you, just hold on. You ain't seen nothing yet.
Amen.
You think that God's done something for you already, just keep trusting him.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, he'll show you a little bit more. It's good to see you tonight. I am just thankful for your presence tonight, as well as just your energy that you bring. And if I preach long, I'm going to blame Matt because he said he wanted me to preach after that song for a couple hours. You know, I heard what he said. You don't tell a preacher stuff like that, because normally when you do, he listens. He takes that kind of platform to preach for a little while. But I know our lives are busy, and I know there's many things that are happening in our lives and our schedules. Permit us to be here tonight, so I won't keep you long, but I will keep you just a spirit minute tonight.
Yes, sir.
So whatever the Spirit has to render, we will allow him to render, and we'll move forward. I've been blessed by God to be with you all, and I'm thankful for your love for God. I appreciate so much. I'm reminded of Paul's words to the church at Thessalonica. You know, I see and feel your faith and your steadfastness in God and your labor of love toward the Lord as well as his people. And
amen.
I want you to know I'm thankful to you for the opportunity to be here and have been here with you to share a word with you from God. And Elisa and I were driving up this way, and she had been, you know, naturally like we do, post stuff on Facebook and different things. And believe it or not, we were here doing a gospel meeting 4 years ago.
Wow.
And I just smiled and I said, man, God, you're amazing. You still are showing up and allowing us to do the things and be together as family, as members one of another. And I thought I'd share that with you because it's good to see you still in the house of God, continuing for your faith and striving to make heaven your home. Because in the culture and world in which we live in today, it renders for us many options. There's many things and choices we can make and do, but I'm glad we're choosing still to stay with God.
Amen.
And so I'm just thankful to be here again yet tonight. And I want to thank my father so much. I appreciate you, Pop, for all that you've done for me and the things that you continue to deliver unto me as it relates to my ministry and to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's been by your faith that my faith has grown. It's been by your faith that I've been allowed access to my faith. I had to see it in somebody, and surely I saw it in you as well as my mother. And I'm thankful for you. And I know I don't always tell you, but I do love you. And I appreciate you so much for everything that you do. And Apple Valley, you're Apple Valley. You are home away from home. And I value the time that we spend together, and so I'm just encouraged always by your presence and when I can come see you. But it's good to see as well my assistant minister all the way from the Los Angeles area tonight. And the reason I got to just give at least him a shout out is because you may or may not know this brother had open heart surgery about a month ago. And God has blessed him to be here. And I just want to tell you, Jesus will fix it after a while. You know, you may be going through something tonight, and we don't have to always go grab Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We can go grab a Don to the Toma, and we can let you know that God's been working in his life, and he has been blessing all the way around. But it's good to see the rest of you. Marshall Stewart, it's good to see you tonight. Of course, Brother Vincent Hawkins, I appreciate you as well. And then, of course, naturally, I just appreciate your elders as well as you lead us here at Apple Valley. You are a blessing to me. Y'all all right?
Yeah.
We had a journey on last night. I pray I didn't stir you up too much with some of my language. Someone said, ooh, what I missed last night. Well, we We walked down a road and we journeyed down a path as it relates to compassion, and I suggested to them that compassion calls you. Compassion, the compassion of the Lord, it calls you, it pulls you in, if you would, especially in the midst of your infirmity, in the midst of your misery, when you're going through things. And we had to go grab that woman who had an issue of blood last night and just talk about her a little bit, because I think sometimes we want the compassion of the Lord, and we want to be able to give it, but we've forgotten that we've received it. Amen. We talked about that, how God found us in the condition that we were in. And I suggested to you just a little bit of horseplay last night with some monkey bar theology, and I pray that blessed, someone said monkey bar theology, I know, but I pray that that blessed you, because even the woman had to let go of her past. She had to let go of the infirmities when compassion called her. And it's just, if you would, like your life is like the monkey bar theology. If you're going to go forward, you got to let go.
Amen.
If you're going to move forward in your walk, you got to let go. Yeah, you got to allow the goodness of God to pull you close to Him.
That's right.
And to plant you, if you would, in a position to be successful. And compassion will do that. Compassion will come alongside of you and make you feel better than you thought you could ever feel.
Amen.
And that's why on Sunday mornings, or even when the church gets together, these songs are radiant in our mind as testifying moments to sing out to our God and praise Him for the wonderful things that He's done for us in our life. Because had not been His love, compassion, mercy, and grace, Paul would say we'd be a men most miserable. I want to just kind of set you up, because I'm going to tell you, tonight is no different than last night. I'm kind of convinced we may even shout tonight after hearing some of the words that God has blessed me with. Not that I'm of myself anything, but because of the goodness of God allowing me to speak it. But I want to talk to you from a topic tonight, if I may, a shepherd for the scattered. I want to entitle this sermon, A Shepherd for the Scattered. You find here that Jesus naturally is moved, and if you would, he's cut all the way to the core of his bowels, and he's literally sensing pain and sensing woundedness. And if you've ever had woundedness or pain in your life, you know sometimes you can't help but holler. You can't help but, oh come on church, you can't help but scream out. Y'all gonna make me get you there already? I thought we were there with trouble in my way. Please don't let us go get another song before we get started. This is the kind of stuff you gotta come amped up and ready for. Because when you talk about a shepherd for the scattered, you gotta recognize that you got a Savior that's in control of your life.
Amen.
That everything that you are and aspire to be is simply because of Jesus. Had it not been for Jesus, we wouldn't be the people of God that we are. But Jesus, He senses this. He senses this pain, and He's moved, the Bible says, with compassion, a compassion that the Greeks would testify and say it starts in the core of one's bowels. And I suggested on last night that, you know, sometimes, you know, God makes me live out the realities of my sermon before I preach them. And I had a bad case of gash the other day, and it was cutting me to my bowels to a point to where all I could do was scream and cry out, Lord, have mercy. And then soon as He came along and relieved my bowels, amen, somebody, I couldn't help but to say the compassion of the Lord is present. And so I was moved and convicted by that, because I began to ask myself the question, is other people's pain, does it move me in my bowels? Does it make me moan and groan? Does it cut me to a point to where I feel such pain that I can't do nothing but cry out?
Amen.
And I don't know about you, when you start getting to that point, it gets a little scary, because you're overwhelmed with the fact that you're not only feeling your pain, but you're feeling everybody else's pain. But I want you to see something tonight as it relates to Jesus, a shepherd for the scattered. We find ourselves yet again at the penmanship of the disciple Matthew. As he writes, he captures Jesus in a moment of diagnosis. Okay. The Bible says when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. As Jesus gazes at the great moving mass of humanity, it calls up to his mind, I'm convinced, two images. First, it seems like a flock of sheep without a shepherd. then it appears as a harvest field waiting for the reapers. Amen, somebody. Amen. This great crowd was a demand upon compassion, if you would. For it suggests so much weariness and vexation and sin and need. In this case, the great want was really instruction. For the Bible says they fainted, or for what I want of comfort, if you would. They were scattered abroad for the lack of guidance, if you would. They were eager to learn, church, but they had no fit teachers. Sheep having no shepherd, or sheep that are unfed and unfolded and unguarded, scattered and doomed for destruction.
That's right.
Our Lord was stirred with a feeling which literally agitated his inmost soul. For what he saw affected not only his eyes, but it affected also his heart. He was so overcome by sympathy and pity that his whole frame was stirred with an emotion which put every faculty of him into a forceful movement. Moving in diagnosis, Jesus would proclaim, "The harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few." But then Jesus would move from diagnosis to prescription. Prescribing to the disciples to pray to the Lord of harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. Jesus, if you would, the ultimate leader that he is, shows us, I believe, the divine order of capturing and casting a vision. Even as leaders and people of God, we often err in our movement in the kingdom by jumping from one vision to another vision, from one church to another church, from one house to another house, from one spot to another spot. I suggest that to truly capture, though, the vision of compassion like Jesus, we must be willing to become burdened over a need. I better say that again. I suggest that to truly capture the vision of compassion like Jesus, we must be willing to become burdened over a need. Consider with me, if you would, briefly, the order in which Jesus sees things. For I'm convinced burden precedes your vision. Did you hear what I just said? I said, I am convinced that burden precedes your vision. If you are not feeling the people, you can't see what to do with the people.
Amen.
Matter of fact, if you ain't feeling where the people are at, then you can't begin to understand what they need.
Amen.
Do I have your ears for just a moment? Our text would suggest to us that as Jesus traveled the villages, he sought a need because of what he saw. If that's not enough, he bought a burden. I said he bought a burden by diagnosing within the inmost part of his being the problem by saying, I need more workers. Finally, I'm convinced he caught a vision and prescribed an antidote for the burden, that we pray to the Lord of harvest to send laborers into the vineyard. In essence, Jesus paused like the good shepherd that he is. He is, if you would, he paused long enough to observe the needs of the people. And then he felt the tug of their burden so that he caught a vision that would address the burden. Can a young man get a hot minute?
All right, then.
Let me tell you something. If you can't feel people's pain, then you ain't been relieved from your pain.
I like that.
Did you hear what I just said? If you can't feel the people's pain, then chances are you ain't been relieved of your pain. The good shepherd comes along in your life when you need compassion.
That's right.
And what he does is he looks and sees where you're at, what's going on with you, what you need, and then concludes by remedying this for their life. They will be free from the stuff that's wounding them. Free from the stuff that's holding them back.
That's good, Dad.
Free from the stuff that's besetting them so easily. To a point to where you're now free to feel everyone else's pain to help them get the same deliverance that the Lord has given you.
Amen.
And I don't know about you. I don't know about you. When you speak about the compassion of God, I'm scared by it now.
Amen.
Because the fact that I should be burdened by somebody else's problem bothers me a little bit. Maybe it is because I may possibly have found myself after this self-centered. Maybe it's because I found myself prideful, too worried about my own stuff that I go through. But I'm here to tell you, if you're going to do compassion like Jesus, you got to let go of your stuff and grab somebody else's stuff.
Amen.
I don't know about you. I'm thankful to God that we done had some folk along in my life that done grabbed some of my stuff.
Yes, sir.
They were the burden bearers upon the my stuff.
Yeah.
And I was smoking and toking and joking and got arrested at school. Pop! Went in bed up under some of my stuff.
Amen.
Instead of them taking me to jail, he took me home. Y'all don't hear me. I'm talking about compassion. Compassion has its moment, but it says, I move beyond me to fulfill the need that you have. Now, I will admit I didn't like at the moment when he picked me up and told me it's home when we got to the house. However, I appreciate now that he took me home the way that he did. Although, you know, I could have easily went to jail, compassion stopped by and it said, no, not today. I don't know about you. There's been some moments in your life, I'm sure, where you could have easily been hauled away, if you would, by your woundedness. You could have easily been pulled away by your catastrophic events in your life. But I'm here to tell you the reason you're here alive and well and able to praise his name tonight is because compassion done stop by your house. And I want you to see tonight, as we look in the book of Matthew chapter 9, that Jesus, his movement in compassion centers around the fact that he knew we are a people who had no shepherd. We are a sheep who were just crazy, ignorant, had lost our mind, didn't know what to do, needed a leader, was timid, scared about every little thing. Y'all quiet out there. Some of y'all scared right now about Trump. Not even realizing your citizenship ain't down here nowhere, it's in heaven. Say that, boy. Trump don't run nothing. I got a Trump card that trumps Trump. His name is Jesus.
Y'all listening to me? Maybe I got your attention.
No, compassion has stopped by your house tonight. It's right here in your head right now, telling you it's time to let go of the stuff that's holding you back, because there's some other stuff I need you to do. Let me drop this in while I'm here. When you notice the text of Matthew chapter 9, when you get down there to verse number 38, he says, pray ye therefore to the Lord of harvest, that he will send forth laborers. Notice he didn't say more laborers. He said he's going to send forth laborers. I'm convinced we've been Mickey Mouse's stuff around the house of God. I'm convinced we've been two-timing our God. I'm convinced after studying this, Stan has to repent tonight, because he really ain't been filling everybody's pain.
Amen.
I know as a preacher, sometimes you're overwhelmed with everybody's pain that you can't even feel your own pain. That's the point about who Jesus is in our life. If you would, he gives us the remedy to suppress our pain so we can progress in helping other folks with that.
Amen. That's all right there.
Sometimes you have to just step back and say, God, thank you for letting me feel so-and-so's pain.
Amen.
It reminds me, Father, that now that I'm feeling their pain, and how you relieved my pain. And it gives me, if you would, a spirit that is softened and a spirit that is open to receive a person just like they are.
Amen.
They don't look like us. Sometimes we kind of get funky about it. Sometimes when they don't smell like us, we kind of get funky about it. When they remind us, if you would, of who we used to be. We showed up get funky about it. Y'all out there with me? I'm talking about compassion. The compassion of the Lord feels within the gut, but doesn't just feel it, it acts upon what it feels. I don't know about you, I'm beginning to understand something about Jesus. Every day he feels something from Stan. Can I walk y'all down this road real quick? He feels so much from me that he keeps throwing down to me grace and mercy.
Amen.
When I get to messing up, he feels that. And as soon as he feels that, he throws on down some grace and mercy. Matter of fact, I think he stacks up grace and mercy, because he already know he about to feel some stuff from Stan.
That's all right.
Yes,
that's all right.
I understand.
Right.
I get it. Right. The steadfast love of the Lord, Lamentations chapter 3, never ceases.
Never.
His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And then the prophet would say, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, guess what? I will hope in him. In him. I'm hoping to get some grace tomorrow. I'm hoping to receive some mercy tomorrow. And I'm sure enough hoping that it has some compassion on top of the mess that I'm sending his way. Let me tell you something. When the compassion of the Lord is present in your life, you begin to move out the way and let him move in the way. Y'all looking like you need a story. No problem. I meet you in Luke chapter 7, right about verse number 1. I think it's time for us to begin to see the true shepherd.
Amen.
The good shepherd that cares about his people.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is the Lord rides high when you're riding high.
Amen.
And the Lord will ride low when you're riding low. The Lord will be there in the in-between moments when things you don't understand, the Lord will be there. He'll have compassion on your ignorance.
Amen.
He'll have compassion on the moments where you want to give up. He'll have compassion on the moments when you're ready to throw in the towel. When things aren't working out for you, he'll have compassion to say, it's all right, my child, you get one more try. When you fill it all up, righteous man falls 7 times, but he done made you righteous, so he allowed you to get back. I want to talk to some believers tonight, some folk who really know the Lord, because I'm going to tell you, being moved by compassion hits you in the gut. You can't sit there tonight as a believer and tell me that God ain't been good to you.
Amen.
And what we've done is we have suppressed compassion so much so we're scared to say amen.
Amen.
We're scared to lift our hand. We're scared to speak about it.
Yeah.
And everything should be decently and in order. Don't you think God likes decent and order folk who testify about what he's done for them? Don't you think God appreciates, if you would, folk like the thief on the cross who says, Lord, remember me. I know you ain't done nothing. I done jacked it all up, but remember me. And then to hear a phrase, you'll be with me today in Pet. Don't you think God appreciates when you smile and say thank you for grace today? Y'all still with me? I'm giving y'all time to get Luke chapter 7 because I want to show you something here that I've missed many a times, but now that I'm beginning to slow down and just check myself, you know, I'm bumping into stuff. Y'all ever just bumped into something and talking about how come I didn't bump into that a long time ago? That's because you had to let go of some of your stuff and grab somebody else's stuff. But the more I'm learning. When you grab somebody else's stuff, you get closer to God.
Amen.
Because you sure don't know what you're doing. Amen. I know some folk, I know y'all got to figure it out. I give good advice, but you don't follow it, right?
Amen.
What you're saying, Stan, let me tell you something. The fact that God allows us the gifts that we have to be able to render help to people who are in need of help, we ought to just stop for a moment and thank him for that kind of stuff. Because what that's saying is he's so compassionate over your life, he'll clean up your life and then let you be a testimony to other folks. Did you hear what I just said? He'll take you from riding dirty and let you ride clean. Okay, all right, that was for my younger crowd. He will allow you to be free from your sins and iniquities and set you up as a Bible school teacher, as a testimony to the folk at the grocery store, as a light to shine in the community as you walk around, and they can't see none of the dirt that you had before you became that light.
Amen.
That's all right. Make sure I had to just get everybody in there, because I'm going to tell you, at some point, we ought to be shining. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you're a winner.
You're a winner.
No, neighbor. You look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor,
neighbor,
you're a winner.
You're a winner.
Yes, sir. And I said, well, we might be a winner. You got to stop that. Compassion has stopped by your house and cut out losing, so now it's time to win.
That's right.
And real winners get wings.
Amen. Yeah.
Did you hear what I said? Real winners.
Real winners.
They get wings.
Yeah.
And if they got wings, then they can fly away.
Yeah.
Where the world can't do them no harm.
Come on, somebody.
Two wings. Someone said, I thought he was talking about the two-piece down there at the Pizza Hut.
Now look here. Get beyond here.
It is Tuesday. But get beyond here. Move past your stuff.
Yeah.
And dip into compassion and start seeing somebody else's stuff. Okay, y'all at Luke 7 now?
Yeah.
Here we go. When Jesus had finished, verse number 1, saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There was a centurion servant whom his master valued highly, who was sick and about to die.
The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and to heal his servant.
Yes, sir.
When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. Is that right?
Yeah.
He said, this man deserves, this man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue.
All right.
So Jesus did what? He went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof.
Yeah.
This is why I did not even consider myself worthy, I like this, to come to you.
Yeah.
But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority.
Yeah.
With soldiers under me.
Uh-huh.
I tell this one go, and he goes.
Uh-huh.
And that one come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Then the men who had been sent returned to the house, and they found the servant well, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus leaves from where he was and heads on down to Capernaum.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
And I suggest to you the centurion knew about it.
Yeah.
He knew about the movement of Jesus. I'm convinced that he felt the compassionate pull of the Lord.
Yeah.
Because he had heard about, I'm sure, some stuff that was going on. At least his servants did. So much so that his servant said, well, man, you done built the synagogue. Surely you ought to be blessed for building the church.
Boy, you need to quit.
Are y'all going back to sleep? just watch me. Let's move
That's
a little
right.
bit. Surely you deserve a little grace and mercy for being part of the church. Are y'all with me? You see the compassion of the Lord? The compassion of the Lord moves beyond you. And knocks on the Gentile and the centurion and all the Roman folk who desire to have the pool of compassion in their life.
That's right.
Okay, y'all need some more help, no problem. 2017 relevancy, here we go. The man on the corner, the woman on the corner deserve the same kind of compassionate pool on their life.
Yeah.
Whether they drinking or not drinking, they are nothing but equal. They both deserve the same pool of compassion in their life.
Yes, sir.
The problem is, though, sometimes instead of setting sail to head to Jesus, some of our boats have been docked.
I don't get it. Just hold on with me. As soon as Jesus comes into Capernaum, guess what's coming up to Jesus? Some servants. We need some help at the house.
All right.
Now listen to me. You must know you need some help when you're in authority and can't fix what you got going on.
Amen.
Yeah, listen. Come on, somebody. There's been some moments in our lives where we couldn't fix some of the stuff that was happening in our life.
I'm concluding these days that the reason we need help every day is because we're not confirming and admitting we've been helped by Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Let y'all chew on that for a minute.
Because when you know he's the one who's helped you, he's not the second option. He's the first option.
See,
when you know he's done something for you in the state of compassion and done loved on you and done given you grace and mercy, he's the first one you run to.
Amen.
Sunday morning Bible classes is available, and you run everybody over to get to the to the house of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You can have one leg, one eye, one arm, but you're going to make your way to the house of God. I don't know what that looks like, but you're going to get there. I'm going to tell you, all right, Stan, I'm just trying to show you compassion. I'm trying to show you the good stuff.
That's all right.
Because when he does something for your life, it changes things for you. I told Elise when we got married, I'm going to the house of the Lord every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
And every Sunday since I married her, we've been at the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Compare. A high water. I done trucked through the snow, went up the hill about so and so miles,
Y'all get on back to sleep. If we can do it for school, surely we can do it for the house of God. Well, my stomach hurt. The reason your stomach hurt is because you've forgotten about his compassion. Sometimes you will shut up so much of that compassion in your bowels that it will make you miserable.
Then what are you doing? I need some help with that. Let me tell you something. When you're holding on to the blessings, wherewith God has blessed you with, you're going to bust wide open.
Amen.
You ain't going to feel no kind of good. Okay, y'all need some help. Let's go on into the real world now.
Okay.
If you stay backed up for too long, something about to give. You about to bust from the inside out. Okay, listen, why? Because what's hidden there has become vile. It's no good no more. Y'all listen,
come on.
When you're holding on to the compassion of the Lord and not letting it ring freely, it's going to make you sick.
Yeah.
Some folk gonna roll by your way just so happy, and because you holding on to happiness, you're gonna be mad. Why are you so happy? Every Sunday ain't a good day. Man, last night wasn't good. My neighbors kept me up all night. But what that got to do, if you'd have went over there and been a little compassionate to them,
all right.
If I say you should have been compassionate about a year ago, instead of going out there acting ignorant with them, you better turn your stuff down. You should have just said, you know what, man, look, I got to get up and go to the house of the Lord in the morning, and I would sure appreciate it if you could just turn that down just a little bit. Matter of fact, you know what, next weekend, you know, I'll be out of town. You can turn your stuff up. Y'all quiet. That makes plenty of sense.
Yeah.
It has to be felt. It has to be seen. Because let's be honest with ourselves. Have we not been that person before?
Yeah.
Let me show you something. This centurion, he needs some help at his house.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says the servants go and say he deserves to get the help.
Yeah.
And when Jesus heard that he built the synagogue and he deserved to be helped, he was moving along. But I'm convinced it was deeper than that.
Yeah.
I'm convinced that Jesus felt the faith of the centurion.
Matter
of fact, so much so, watch what happens. The centurion hears Jesus is on his way and he sends another servant.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Okay,
he can't come up in here. I'm not worthy of him to come up in here.
Yeah.
Can I help us?
Yeah.
He ain't worthy to come up in here. He's not worthy to come up in this body of Stan, because Stan is vile.
Yeah.
Stan don't mean himself no good.
Yeah.
Stan is a master. He says when to go and when to stay. He says, I'm doing what.
Y'all listen to me.
But when compassion knocks on your heart and moves on into your life, there's a new master now. This centurion understood that, so he said, he just needs to say a word. And my servant will be here. I think sometimes we just need a word from heaven.
Amen.
A rhema from heaven. We just need the Lord to speak a word to us as his people. Someone said, you shout, what's wrong with you? I'm excited. Because he done spoke a word to this little man. He done spoke a word and then compassionately blessed my life. And look, I'm here tonight to tell you about it.
Amen.
That's all right. The compassion of the Lord moves you beyond the stuff and moves you into a life where God can use you.
That's right.
I want you to see something here, because the people marvel that just a word is spoken and the centurion servant is made well. And while I'm here, I just drop this off, this don't cost you nothing. If God could just speak a word to our stuff, I think we'd start feeling that. But in order to get that word, you got to ask him for it. You got to accept what he has to offer. Y'all all right? That ain't even my lesson, but it's good along the way. Here's my point. Look at verse 10. Then the men who had been sent returned to the house, and they found the servant wood. Verse number 11. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. Is that right?
Right.
As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. One version said he had compassion on her. And he told her, don't cry, don't weep. Then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on, and the bearer stood still. He said, young man, I say unto you, get up. The dead man sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. A great prophet has appeared among us, they said.
God has been
God has come to help his people.
Someone says standards don't make no sense. Hold on, I'm on my way. Let me tell you something. When compassion shows up, it knows what to do at the intersection in life of both good and bad. When compassion shows up to the intersection of sadness and happiness, it knows exactly what to do. Are y'all listening to me? Here you have the centurion servant just got healed. Folk is on fire. You know, it's like that Sunday where the preacher finally say something that ain't about your sin and you get happy. And everything went good that Sunday because it wasn't down your street. So you was hooping and hollering, talking about praise, preacher, praise. Everything was good for you. And so you just said, man, we had church today.
Y'all don't hear me.
What are you saying, Stan? Not only was they hooping and hollering, but they was following behind Jesus. Why? They had saw a miracle. They had saw the very fact that all Jesus did was speak about it. Last night, all Jesus did was let a woman touch him. Now tonight, all Jesus is doing is speaking about someone needing to get up. Are y'all listening to me? I don't care whether Jesus touches you, you touch him, or he speaks a word. You go get what you need. The question is do you want what you got?
Y'all gone back to sleep.
Some of us don't want what we got right now. We got the compassion of the Lord over our life, but we're just as miserable as can be.
Amen.
I conclude you don't really want the compassion of the Lord. Because when you want the compassion of the Lord, you're just as happy as can be. Someone said, is that what's wrong with you? Showing up. I'm happy as can be. Why? Compassion has stopped by my eyes. You know, little Stanley helped me with this earlier today. We was on our way to school. And as we were on our way to school, we was back there just bumping and clowning, doing what we do as father and son. And usually I get my Bible class with Stanley in the morning. Amen, somebody. And I ain't the one who's been teaching it. It's been him. And no doubt he showed up again this morning, Stanley did, ready to give the lesson to Dad. And as we're bumping along, we're just talking and things were coming out of his mouth. And I was like, you know, he's kind of in this little, you know, rhyming phase. And I'm like, okay, is he about to be a rapper? Don't trip. You know, is he going to be a soloist, a vocalist? What is Stanley getting ready to do? So we're singing songs, and then we flip over from songs, and we flip over into Nene or something. Now, just a whole lot of stuff going on. Someone said, he listens to all of that. You don't. I was like, not that. I knew the oldies but goodies. Watch yourself. The oldies but goodies got subliminal messages, too. That's the reason why we ain't received compassion, because it's our thing. And we want to do what we want to do. I'm saying, you all right now? I'm feeling just fine. I want you to see something. As we're on our way to school, and he's talking, and all of a sudden, something comes out of his mouth. And it wasn't a bad word, but he knows it's a word that we just kind of don't fool with. And the first thing he did was close his eyes and say, oh, Father God, I'm sorry. And then turned around and said, take away my sins. I said, thank you for the lesson, Stanley. Because compassion just showed up in that car and caught your behind from getting one. Because here I am, he's talking to the Almighty, and I'm saying what I'm going to do to it. Surely I hit him, God sure fit the beat on me. He bypassed sorry Dad and said, Father. How's this relevant to the text? Watch Jesus. Jesus is in a mode of compassion. Because he gets to the gate to the inner city called Nain. Capernaum, there's a praise procession down to a place called Nain. Then he gets to Nain and there's a sorrow procession headed out. Are y'all listening to me? There's two separate crowds often here. You got the folk who on Sunday got a lesson without their sin. And then you got some folk over here who about to bury a widow's only son. And these processions meet, if you would, at the gate. Can I drop something on you? The place called Nain, its root, its meaning calls beautiful. Pleasant. Someone said, well, how in the world is any funeral procession beautiful and pleasant?
Tell us,
sir. I maintain when compassion shows up, it's always beautiful and pleasant. I don't care what you go through, when Jesus shows up, it's always beautiful and pleasant. Yes, it is. So you all right, Stan? And I'm trying to help y'all with the scariness you got off in your bones.
Yeah.
Worried about this and you're worried about that. Scared about this and scared about this. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Trump got y'all scared.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-oh. And the compassion shows us. Don't nobody care.
Right. Yeah.
Amen.
Hey, don't.
Can I help us?
Yeah. Come on.
When God uses what we would proclaim the enemy to quote scripture, that's an encouragement to us.
Amen.
Oh, y'all don't hear me.
Yeah.
I heard Trump quote something. Psalms 133.
Yeah.
How beautiful
yeah.
and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.
Yeah.
Don't say, I don't like where you're going with it. Well, that's your prerogative.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to help you with something.
Yeah.
That spoke to me. You know what God was telling me? Stick with your brothers.
Yeah.
Stay close with your family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stay close with God. God's still running the show.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah.
That's
right.
That's all right, brother. That's all right.
Some of y'all going to leave that. I don't like hearing that. Yeah, fine. Let me show you something. No. That's what happens when compassion is activated.
Yeah. Yeah.
Compassion shows up and it moves some stuff.
Yes.
Jesus tells the woman, don't weep.
Yes, sir.
And I used to think Jesus was being real insensitive right there. How you gonna tell, she just lost her only son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How you gonna tell him don't cry? Well, I know why. Because Jesus knew what he was about
That's
to do.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus knew who he was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Bible said he moves past the mourners,
mm-hmm.
past the mockers.
Mm-hmm.
He moves past the praise team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He moves past the crowds.
Mm-hmm.
Goes straight up and touches the beer. And I better explain, that's B-I-E-R.
Yeah. Yeah.
better explain that.
Yeah. Touches the basket, the place in which the boy was laid.
Yeah.
And he told him, child, get up.
Yes, sir.
I told y'all last night, compassion, in the Eskimo language, they define it and describe it as your pain in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Not only was there two crowds between Capernaum and Nain, but there was two sons.
Yeah.
One son had been laid in the bier, but the other son was up moving along, flesh and blood, headed to the bier, to wake the other son.
That's all right. That's all right.
So much so that Jesus, being moved with compassion, I'm convinced, felt her pain.
Mm-hmm.
Because he would understand, I'm convinced, that eventually his mother Mary, being a widow, would have to carry her only son out to go, God.
Yeah.
I wish
yeah.
I had a
child. Oh,
amen.
Amen.
And would literally sensed the pain of his mother because he knew he had to go. But understood as he was leaving, it'd be a victory when it came on back. Y'all still with me? I'm talking about two crowds, two sons. The fact that Jesus is moving like this, he's saying, I understand where you are. And let me tell you something, when we start understanding where people are, results will happen.
Yeah, man.
You want to fill your church? You want to get churches filled?
Yes, sir.
You got to stop feeling yourself and feel people's pain.
Oh, amen.
Amen.
It's one thing to fill you up, but what about somebody else?
Yes, that's right.
People need the same opportunity as we do.
Yes, sir.
Did God meet you where you were?
Yes, he did.
Okay, I got three folk in the house.
Yes, he did.
I guess the rest of y'all got ain't met you nowhere. How many has known that God met you in the streets out there?
Well,
them streets, them loud, low down, dirty streets.
Yeah.
You had a joint in your mouth when he met you.
Come to love, Lord Jesus.
Yeah. Had a bottle in your mouth when he met you.
Yeah.
Now you're so anti-bottle, you can't stand somebody else with a bottle.
Come on now.
Real brand new up in here. The kid, don't act so heavenly righteous that you ain't no earthly good.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
See, compassion moves you alongside the brother with the bottle.
Yeah, boy,
remember them days?
Yeah. Ripple.
Been there, thank you. Been there, done that. Ripple. I remember back in the day we took champagne and mixed it with Ripple and it was champagne Ripple.
Yeah.
Boy, you're pretty
saying where you're going with this, but look here, compassion moves you to feel where people are.
Yeah.
And it doesn't give you license. Matter of fact, you don't take license to beat them down because you already know they down.
Yeah.
So instead, what you do is you remedy an antidote.
Yeah.
You remedy Jesus because you know he's the one that has fixed you.
Yeah.
And it moves you in. Are y'all all right?
Yeah.
I want you to see as we close. The Lord, in his wonderful compassion toward us, has hemmed us in from behind, before, and on all sides.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I want you to know compassion. The compassion of the Lord is ever present in our lives.
That's right.
I recall Genesis chapter 6.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, you know, for a long time, you know, I'd read the story of Noah.
Yeah.
And I'd kind of read it out as a children's story.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Until something blessed me the other day.
Yeah.
I begin to read and see, God told Noah to build an ark. Y'all remember the story?
Yeah.
Told him to do it this long, that high, and that wide, and all that. And then he said, I want you, after you build it, to take something. I want you to take some pits.
Yeah.
I want you to pitch it on the outside and pitch it on the inside.
Pitch it. Pitch it.
Then after you do all the pitching going on, you know, get the animals on the boat. And when you get on the boat, you know, naturally the rain started coming. All of a sudden, stuff started flooding off. But what amazed me is why the boat continued to sustain the way it was. You know, being, you know, friendly to the carpentry trade. And I'm sitting here thinking, all right, well, the boat must have been well constructed.
Yeah.
But I maintain it was beyond the construction of the boat.
Mm-hmm.
It was what God told him to do to the boat.
Okay.
Yeah.
He told him to pitch the boat.
Yeah.
Pitch it from the outside and pitch it from the inside.
Yeah.
And old crazy me, I need to know what is pitch.
Yeah.
So I went down and began to look, what is pitch?
Yeah.
Well, in the Hebrew language, pitch, the word kedar remedies itself as mercy, as atonement. Remedies itself, if you would, as a safe haven, a rescue. Are y'all listening to me?
Yeah.
And so what, in essence, I begin to conclude was God was telling Noah, when you pitch it on the outside, the stuff that's on the outside that's bad can't get on the inside.
Yeah.
And when you pitch it on the inside, what's good can't spill out to the outside. I think that's compassion.
Yeah.
I think compassion moves it to 2017 and says, when you pitch your life with the Lord, your relationship will stay glued together.
Yeah.
And the outside stuff can't get in to the good stuff.
Yeah.
And the good stuff that's in the relationship can't get out. Are y'all listening to me? I'm talking about sometimes you got to know you got some good stuff in the boat and just buy your honey some roses just because the stool's there. But he'll pitch it from the inside and out. But then I begin to move past that. And I begin to see, okay, that ark, well, what did Jesus do for us? He came down here.
Mm-hmm.
And watch how he came. Born of a virgin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everything was pure and clean when he got here.
Yeah.
Did you hear what I just said? This radical Jesus whom we profess and claim to serve came down here like ain't nobody else been able to come. I like to see stuff that I ain't never seen before.
Yes.
Okay.
I like to know stuff that I ain't never known before.
Amen.
And every time I read the story, it's new, and I thought that was something amazing until I found out how he came here. After being born of a virgin, he was laid in a manger.
Yeah.
After having been wrapped in swaddling cloth. Y'all still with me?
Yes. Yes.
But before, you know, when he came, excuse me, there was a crescendo from heaven that came out and appeared to guess who? The shepherds.
Yeah.
Y'all with me still?
Yeah.
Them shepherds who were on the outskirts of the city of Jerusalem.
Yeah. Right now.
Them shepherds who were out there tending to the sheep of which we're going to be taken into the temple later to be offered up as a sacrifice the Lord. Are y'all still with me?
Yeah.
I want you to hang. I'm almost through. But I want you to get this before I'm through. Watch this. Them folk who nobody wanted, the angel stopped by and had a little compassion on them.
Yeah.
They were the ones to hear the first announcement that a Savior had been born.
Yeah.
Y'all listening to me? A good shepherd knows who to go to first.
Yeah.
A good shepherd know he can't go to the self-righteous folk. They already think they got it.
So he got to go to the folk who know they need some help.
Get on out there with the unclean folk, the folk who begin dying and dirty with the lamb, and remind them that they no longer would need a lamb because behold, the Lamb of God was here.
You say this, Dad? I'm talking about good old compassion.
Yeah.
Had it not been for the love and compassion of the Lord, we wouldn't sit here right now. We couldn't be justified and sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit. Someone said, I didn't know we were filled with all of that. Yeah, you must have been looking at the loser section. The winner section has everything to do with being sanctified. And these are words we don't use. I think it's because we don't understand them. You talk about sanctification, can't nobody do what God can do with your sin and remit it, and can't nobody bring it back up again. That's God.
Amen.
And if that's not enough, he justifies it. You can bring up any accusation you want, but this is the great justifier of justifiers. Matter of fact, he said, you know what, I don't even have to explain nothing.
Y'all listening to me? You all right? This is my last night, so I better give you the rest of what I got. Not only sanctified and justified, but filled with the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit allows you to be glorified with the Savior. You need to see something, because the fact that Jesus came in and swaddled the cloth is representative of some stuff. Scholars suggest that these same cloths are the same cloths he uses when he gets up on out of here. Are you listening to me? The compassionate Savior came with a cause and a purpose. His purpose coming in here was symbolism to show you that I'm here but for a moment, because I need to drop off some stuff so when I leave you can come where I'm going. That's good stuff.
Amen.
But that's not enough. The tomb scene ought to just bless your life.
Amen.
The fact that you get in there and there's some order to the tomb. Amen. Stuff ain't in an uproar. Y'all know what I'm talking about. If Jesus let you get up out the grave, stuff would be a hot mess.
I feel you, brother.
But that tomb wasn't disrupted.
Nope.
Matter of fact, the grave cloth was still intact.
Yeah.
I'm convinced it's because the shepherd morphed through it.
I like that.
It was so time to get up out the grave with victory. He didn't have time to cut them off. They cut themselves off of him.
He said, man, we can't hold you. Get out of here.
That's all right, bro.
That wasn't enough. There was a napkin up there.
Here we go.
A napkin that, you know, Jesus had over his head, and he had folded it and placed it down. And in some customs, you know, the napkin is significant.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, when you're at the dinner table, you can sit and you can use this napkin, you know, to wave to the waiter if you need something.
Yeah. Okay.
You can also use this napkin, you know, when you're through, to kind of just crumble and throw on your plate and tell them you're done.
Yeah.
Or if you need to get up and come back, you can fold it and place it neatly. And that'll let the waiter know that you'll be right back. Just trying to help somebody with compassion. The Lord loved us so much, he was willing to fold up his napkin, place it down, and let you know, I'm gone for a moment, but I'm coming right back. True compassion moves you beyond because a shepherd cares for you. A shepherd is willing to lay down his life for the sheep because he knows he can lay it down and pick it back up. This shepherd is the one, when you're down and out, when you're wounded, will come and have compassion on your little leg when you done broke it. When he done told you to stay off the monkey bar. Stop going backwards. He don't mind coming over there and bandage you and up and say you want to try it again. Y'all don't hear me. He'll come down there when you're caught in the barbed wire and pull you up out nicely and neatly, and then when you do it, he'll bandage up your wound, put you on his shoulders, take you to the house, and then say, let's celebrate. He was lost, but now he's found. The same shepherd would carry a pail with him. Would take this pail with him just in case the sheep couldn't make it to the water. Oh, I wish I had a church like this. Sometimes you gotta take your water to your sheep. Because your sheep are too scared of the water. Sometimes the water's a trouble. Sometimes trouble's in their way. And they need a compassionate Savior. They need a compassionate servant. They need a compassionate
pastor
to
come on over there and bring them some water. Y'all don't hear me? That's before you can go on and preach. You got to pastor your church. You got to pastor your sheep. Your folk need some help. Are y'all listening to me?
I know there's a lot of arguments out there, but I maintain after reading this, you can't help nobody and minister unto them until you help them where they're at.
We don't like to hear it called our preachers pastor, but we misunderstand what a pastor is. Look at the text. Jesus says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad. As sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto the disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the what?
Laborers
are few. Right, so pray to the Lord of harvest that he sends some laborers into the harvest. But watch what's happening here. Jesus said the people were faint and were weary. You can't give fainted and weary and scattered folk no sermon. They need some life and revival.
Amen.
Are you hearing me? If they're not going to hear what you got to say if they're broken up. So they need some compassion placed on their life. They need to be fixed before they can hear the word of the Lord. And I'm convinced they've heard the word of the Lord when you go in and begin to fix them. Because honestly and truthfully, when you're wounded, the only thing you want is healing. Maybe you're here tonight.
That's all right.
Maybe you need a shepherd because you're part of the scattered. Let me tell you, everybody in here done been scattered.
Yes, sir.
And if you ain't been scattered, just hold on. Your time is coming. Someone said, I've been scattered a few times. Welcome to the club. And I'm convinced the more I get scattered, the closer I get to God when I get back. And I'm convinced the closer I get, the more his compassion I begin to feel. And it helps me when I need to be compassionate to other folks. Can I ask y'all a question? Y'all ever have problems with folk you done told 100 times to do one thing? Trying to tell them one more time. You're sitting there and you're saying in your head, man, I done told you several times. And you just don't seem to listen. Then you almost have this indignation in you that fuels you and makes you want to say, you know, I'm tired of fooling with you. You ain't never going to get it. Let me help us with that. When the last time Jesus said, I'm sick of you. Ain't fooling you. I done told you 100 times. And you just ain't going to listen. Away with you. The good shepherd don't do that. Good shepherd says, you know what? This ain't the 100th time. This is the first time.
I like that.
It's all right.
It's all right.
You know, because why? He's looking through the lenses of compassion. Well, I pray I said something. To encourage your heart, to bless you. I don't profess to be anything great other than a child of the Most High God. But I will profess my greatness as a child of God. God wants greatness of his people. He has had compassion on us for us to shine. I may not get back up here to you, so I'm going to just let you in on what I blessed Hawk on with on Sunday. Your life. It's like a glow stick.
That's good.
This is called glow stick theology. In order to shine, you got to be broken.
That's right.
And when God allows you to be broken down, and you've broken down far enough, he'll come have compassion on you. And he'll let you shine.
Yes, sir. I like that.
And he expects you to shine. And be reminded that blessedness doesn't come first. Brokenness precedes.
That's all right. That's all right.
And God does not call the qualified. But he qualifies the call. So we have nothing to fear. Nothing to be sad about.
That's right.
I'm convinced it's the total opposite.
Yeah.
We ought to be happy. We ought to have a joy that's hilarious.
Yes,
joy that moves beyond what we're in to remind us of who we are. Maybe you're here and you're a believer. Maybe your zeal and your fire is gone. I got to talk to you. It's time out for all that stuff. Let me tell you. If we living in a culture where everyone can profess who they are, why can't we? Are y'all listening to me? If they can say openly that they are homosexual, why can't I say I'm a child of the Most High God? Why can't I walk around happy every day?
Yeah.
Why do I got to quiet down because of them? And notice my language. I'm not talking about run up on them, talking about you going to hell. Forget that.
Yeah.
Why don't you say, I'm on my way to heaven?
Yeah.
Why don't you let them know what God done for you?
Amen.
Because what they're doing is being wounded.
Mm-hmm.
They're being a people who've been scattered and
yeah.
don't have a shepherd.
Yeah.
And the only way to get them is for you to shine.
Yeah.
To let them know God had took your broken pieces and put them all back together.
Yes, sir. Yeah, yeah,
yes,
yeah.
sir.
Has y'all ever broke a glow light?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
yeah.
And you shook it up
mm-hmm.
and it shined?
That's right.
You ever looked in there?
Mm-hmm.
You know what's still in there?
All them shards.
Thank you, Dad.
Yeah, yeah.
All them shards of glass.
Yeah.
What are you saying, Stan? You ain't but a step away from brokenness again anyway.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Instead of fooling with the junk, why don't you just shine?
Yeah.
Why don't you let folk know that you're a child of the Most
All right.
High God.
That's good.
And His compassion has wowed you and wooed you, and He's all you want.
Yeah.
Are y'all listening?
Yeah.
Come close.
I hear you, bro.
You ought to get up in the morning snuggling up next to God.
Amen.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, you ought to already been snuggled with God the night before.
Yeah.
When you wake up in the morning, honey ought to be under one arm and God ought to be under the next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ought to get up with grace in your heart.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
There ought to be a smile
That's
on
good,
your
sir.
Face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ought to light up your house without a light being turned on.
Yeah.
By mere virtue that you woke up, you ought to throw your hands up and give God
yeah.
some praise. You ought to walk through the house brushing your teeth and humming, today is a good day. And I'm not talking about Ice Cube. I'm talking about you woke me up this morning. And my mind has stayed on you. He let me sleep last night
yes, sir.
And arise on the morning. I'm talking yeah. about some of the songs we would hear even from the Old Testament. Hear, O Israel.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the love of the Lord is there. He's the Lord your God. And you should love Him with all of your heart
Amen.
And all of your,
yeah. Yeah.
All of your soul and all of your... I'm going to tell you something. That changes stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean.
The head of my house when I'm miserable. The house is miserable.
Yeah, that's right.
Turn that.
When I'm smiling, the house is smiling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When I ain't tripping, the house ain't tripping. When I ain't funky, the house ain't funky.
Yeah.
Now, come on, y'all. I'm trying to help you before I sit down. Yeah. When everyone knows I'm cool, calm, and collect, they cool, calm, and collect.
Yeah.
And everyone knows I'm not worried because I know God's in control.
Amen.
Amen.
They know God
is in
control.
That's right.
That's all right.
That's good, son.
If you're here and you're not a believer, come by faith. Repentance is accepting to be the Savior. We're baptized in water for the remission of your sins. And He'll add you to the body, which is the church. And you can have this zeal I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Someone said, you preach like that all the time, like it's my last service.
No, that's
my
last
service.
Amen. I don't know how much life He's going to give me.
Yeah.
Right.
But while I'm here,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to preach my heart out.
Yeah.
I plan on sweating every time.
Yeah.
I plan on hollering every time.
That's it.
I
plan on losing my mind for Jesus every single time.
Yeah.
I would get home talking about, ooh, child, I'm tired. Because I know I gave God
everything. Yeah.
That's
all
right.
Because at the end of the day, if there's anyone you ought to be willing to give it out,
it ought to be Jesus.
It ought to be Jesus.
That's right.
Simply because of His love and compassion.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
We need to respond to the call. Do it right now. Together we stand and sit.